Hello, dreamers. Welcome to podcast number 10. This is Stephanie.
And Janine.
We are happy to have you with us this week. And it was our first week after the Gary and Cindy workshop.
So let's talk about how we were able to apply some of the things that we learned in the Gary and Cindy workshop this week.
Do you want to go first or shall I?
I would love to. One of the things I really appreciated about the Cindy and Gary workshop last week is they were very much focused on the forgiveness aspect. When I'm at work, I think that's really when I need to take what I learned last week and apply it and be way more conscious about it. We've talked before that on the weekends, I'm really good. Monday morning, all of a sudden, I forget everything. One of the things I did appreciate when we were listening to our podcasts back was the fact that we really are, I think, moving along on this path, and the things that we are learning definitely from the Cindy and Gary podcast, also from our books, Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish, and all the Alex Marchand books. They are really helping us, I think, move along. For me, the lesson this week is to make sure that I remember that.
I like that.
You're pretty good. Progress. Yeah, you're pretty good at writing little sticky notes. And I mentioned off mic that I really need to start doing that.
Yeah, because at any moment, as I'm moving through my life, whether it's bending down to pick up a sock and my eye glances on the top of the dresser where there's three post-it notes there, or I'm in the bathroom, or I'm moving around in the kitchen, like I have post-it notes everywhere.
So because you've seen them a lot, are you still actually looking at them?
Definitely.
You are.
I mean, of course, there's times when I don't see them, but there's a lot of times where I stop, I read it, I think about it, I might put my hands up in the air and kind of create oneness and slow down. It helps me slow down and remember.
I think you are a model course student because you had talked before about you wake up in the morning and you do your lesson. And some of these lessons will say every hour on the hour, stop for a second and say something or meditate or whatever. So you've been really good at that. I have not. I'm like the prodigal son of the core students.
You're out having fun with your inheritance.
Absolutely. And then I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should go back and open the big blue book.
Sure.
I'm taking the more casual route.
All paths lead to God.
Thank you. Thank you for being kind. Yes, they do. They do indeed. So, Steph, I know that you had a very busy week. I know you had a busy weekend. So, how are you doing with all this?
Well, one of the interesting things that happened to me on Tuesday night when I was reflecting back to Cindy and her meditations that she guided us with was not asking for something that I think that I want or need and just giving it all up to the Holy Spirit, which then had me think about my future and how I have these ideas of how it's going to go. I'm going to get to retire. I'm going to get to buy a house in Oregon and have a garden in the backyard with a hammock. I'm going to be able to spend time on our family's island and garden there because I love gardening. And maybe the Omies, my little TV show thing, will make some money and I can pay off all of my debts and I can go do all this. Like I have these ideas of how things are going to go. And I just thought to myself, what would it be like to just let all that go? Like, what would it be like to actually return to heaven tomorrow or today? Or they talk about
the now. Yes.
You know, they talk about the now a lot. And what would it be like if I just gave up all those attachments to...
I love the idea of playing with non-attachment. Because some of these things you talked about, you've been talking about for a while. I mean, they are seriously goals for you. That's what you really want. So I'm impressed that you've been kind of like, all right, well, let's just say I return to source tomorrow and I don't get all this stuff. How do I feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that thinks, oh, I've worked hard in my lifetime. I deserve... goodness, I deserve to have these things that I want.
Oh, ego.
Exactly. So, you know, it's 10% of good and 90% of ick. And if it's so much ick, why would I want to spend another second here?
Exactly. I think it's fascinating that at least here in the United States, we are so attached to things, stuff.
And retiring.
This concept of money. And yeah, all of it is an illusion, but we are so brainwashed to believe it's real. And we're shamed if we don't have enough in our retirement accounts.
That's for sure.
It's like, well, you don't have enough to retire. What are you going to do? I don't know.
I know. There's a little part of me that pangs with fear, complete fear of not having enough. And yet I know I could at least grow my own food in a garden and I could live simply.
I just feel like it's everybody else's fear kind of encroaching on me. And the best thing for me to do is just not think about it.
Well, that's one way of dealing with it.
Well, you know, I get too attached to thought. I try to practice non-attachment.
Yeah, I definitely felt some freedom of you know what? I'm just going to handwrite a little document saying anything that is an asset, I'm leaving to my mother.
I love that idea. We should get one of those wills online, an online will.
Well, I have a friend who's going to help me with that.
Who's that friend?
Sam.
Well, Sam can help me too.
Of course he can.
Okay, good. Thanks, Sam.
And I keep talking to him about the course and Alex's books. And, you know, I find that people that I've given these books to, it's because it's just been over a year. If I just keep sharing authentically, I feel like eventually it's going to connect with them.
So our listeners obviously are reading the course. Otherwise, they wouldn't have found this podcast. I'm sure that they have the same experience that we do. We get so excited about The Course in Miracles. We want to talk to other people about it. I know that there are times I feel very hesitant because when I discuss what Course in Miracles really is, I think people get very confronted, or at least the ones I've talked to. It goes back to that whole concept of, I think they have to be ready.
Yes, and I think it's the ego stopping them because it doesn't want to be awakened. Like, it wants to rule that
right
fraction.
And my ego was like that some time ago. Now I just tell my ego to shut up. It's like, go away. But my ego's still pretty strong. So, you know, there is that battle. Battle of wills, maybe.
For sure. Thursday and Friday were really hectic at work, and I wasn't as present to the course.
Hmm.
And on Saturday morning, I was making breakfast, and I looked at the clock. It was 10:37, and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I need to connect with Holy Spirit Jesus. There's been like 24 hours has passed that I haven't even thought of it. I was so wound up in my ego life.
It's fascinating, right? Because there's so much stuff that goes on in this illusion that distract us. And you've been pretty diligent about this. So if you can go, I don't want to say off track, but if you could not be focused on it for a 24-hour period, and you've been pretty good at this, then I think those of us, me, that aren't as diligent, it's very easy for me to get off track. In the mornings, I'm doing my best to meditate. I'm also very conscious of when my mind starts wandering.
The mind wanders.
All the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, nonstop.
And Gary Renard had said last week in the workshop that when our mind wanders, we tend to come up with all negative stuff. It goes right into negative thought processing, which is true for me. Like, why do we do that? And we can see this in the real world, quote unquote, our illusory world. I can't even say that word, illusory world, where people tend to just go for the negative first.
That's how we're programmed.
Yeah.
That's part of that ego split.
Mm-hmm. But to stop it and twist it around, like, I really have to be very conscious. I know when I talk to people and I have to deliver a message that isn't exactly something they want to hear, I really have to work overtime to figure out how to deliver that message so it lands with them in a positive way, even though it might seem like I'm giving them correction or criticism.
There's a sting.
Yeah, there's a bit of a sting. So, and we all know words have no power, but we allow words to have power. So if people are allowing them, then I want to do my best to deliver the message as softly as I can. It's not always easy. We were talking offline about a conversation that I had yesterday that was going back and forth, and I just felt like I had to work really hard to find a way to get my point across that wasn't causing some sort of immediate reaction or confrontation with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while when we're around people who are very sensitive psychologically or emotionally. We have to figure out a way to do it, and it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is like walking on eggshells when that ego personality is just ready to jump or bark on anything.
Right. But I feel like my responsibility is to just be true to me and really be conscious in how I'm coming across. And even though they are not ready for the message, because my message always wants to be from love and connected to Source and with the Course in Miracles, you know, every once in a while I kind of veer off, right? So it's just a matter of really being conscious when you communicate. And there's only so much we can do. If the person you're talking to doesn't want to hear the message, that's okay too.
Yeah.
I can't get too connected to them responding in the way I want them to respond.
I figure it's all pre-paving. They're little seeds that are planted like in the garden.
Exactly.
They just might bloom someday.
Yeah, you never know. Mm-hmm. It's like these little gifts, I think, that we keep giving everyone in our lives, and they, us, all throughout our lifespan. And sometimes we are like, hey, I'm going to open this gift now. And other times, like, no, I'm just going to put it on the shelf. I'm not going to open it yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready for it.
Like our paths of coming across the course many times, but it wasn't until Gary's books that right. made it understandable.
I was rereading the third book of Gary's Love Has Forgotten No One, and I was in that passage where someone had, I assume, stolen the original course manuscript from the ARE library. And because we had been at the ARE, and it's a big part of our lives.
Probably near around that time.
Yeah,
it was 10 years later.
No, it was earlier.
We were there in the 90s.
We were there in the 90s, yeah. Right? So it must have been sometime in the 80s. It's just strange reading that and going, wow, the center of love and and spirituality and something that really nourished us back in the day, unfortunately, had that happen. But I also think it was maybe, well, obviously the script was written.
Mm.
It was meant to be.
Did it resurface anywhere?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I was just rereading pieces of Gary's book.
Mm-hmm.
I really love going back and reading it. I mean, we've probably collectively read all three of those books. I don't even know how many times.
Gazillion.
Over and over again. But I always feel like I pull something else out of it. He also had said that course students can sort of bypass the actual text if they've read Gary's books, because it basically is that, just a more approachable view of it. But you really can't ignore the exercises.
Mm-hmm.
The workbook is important because it does continue to invest you in the repetition of remembering every day you have to practice.
It undoes the mind. It has instruction. And it's pretty enlightening.
And I think you said this in the last podcast, that Jesus was pretty on point with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really on point. It really has made me appreciate Jesus a lot more.
Okay, so that Mike Lemieux quote from the Jay Fish book
yes.
that I've been trying to find for the last 3 weeks, I found it. He says, this is his own personal note. You can't be afraid to get your hands dirty on this path. You have to be willing to look at all your crap. Your anger, your resentments, your guilt, your need to be right, your impatience, your self-loathing, your fears, your feelings of inferiority and superiority, and all of your motives in life. It takes work on the level of the mind to undo all that. And where I come from, you're either working hard or hardly working.
Yeah, way to go, Mike Lemieux. That was a well done quote.
I mean, it's pretty intense.
Right.
I mean, all of it.
Well, he makes a good point, and I talked about this, that you know, there are times when I'm confronted at work and my immediate reaction is to be like, oh, well, I don't like that person. Mm. They're clearly wrong. But the reality is something's happening that's being presented to me and I need to take that in. I might not like hearing it and it might not be 100% accurate,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that there isn't something for me to learn in that.
I agree. One of the lessons this week, we had to think of somebody that we didn't like and imagine loving them.
I think one of the things that I have been struggling with is I go through these exercises as well. Like, okay, there's somebody at work that I really don't at this moment like very much in my illusory world. And then I go, it's like, I really love this person, but I don't really. I mean, I'm saying the words, right? So it's like, I have to take some time. I have to peel away the layers of that onion. It's not enough to just be like, okay. I remember when we first started looking at the Course of Miracles. And one of the first things you and me and a couple of my friends did is they just wrote down all the people that they were going to forgive. And they're like, I forgive you. And they thought that was it. I love those early days. Having to go through that process now, it's going to take a while for me. I'll just be honest. Mm-hmm. I can't just do it in one setting.
I know I did in the very beginning part. Like, I just wrote down everybody that I'd ever hurt and just imagined the light, and I created them for my own lesson, and it's just that they're just all examples of the fractured loneliness of the ego,
right.
And the guilt and the frustration. Like, it's just, they're just examples of all that.
When I went through mine, I was stunned by how many there were, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And as time has gone by, I keep remembering, oh, that's right, that person that I'd forgot about. And I thought, how many times that has happened where somebody may have done me wrong, quote unquote. I wonder if they're going through the same thing. Like, oh, I really shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, fascinating. Like, we're all just like playing these roles, right? None of this is real.
Mm-hmm.
This is just lessons for us to be like, oh, okay, got it. Moving on.
On Saturday, when I reconnected with Spirit, I started to meditate and I was doing the Lord's Prayer. And I kept getting stuck in the same place. It's like I couldn't remember the rest of the Lord's Prayer.
Mm.
And then this little voice was like, well, you should look at the other Lord's Prayer, the one that's in Gary's book. So I had it pasted in like a Word document that I hadn't even looked at again. And then when I went back to it and I started reading it, I was like, ah, oh yeah, like this is really the instruction. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read it now. It's from the third book.
Okay.
This is the revised Lord's Prayer from Jesus to us all.
Okay.
Forgive us of our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
Fantastic.
Thank you for sharing. I didn't think of anything. It was just like, God is.
Right.
Yeah. But that whole first sentence, forgive us of our illusions, I mean, that's the whole name of the game. That's,
exactly.
It's like every second when I can remember, mm-hmm. I'm trying to turn it over to spirit.
My big thing lately is I'm not watching TV. TV gone, right? And wow, I mean, it's only been a few days for me, but it has made such a huge difference. Because I see myself coming home and sitting down and watching TV and time has gone away. I just lost 3-4 hours, right? Now that I don't have TV, I've been reading the Course a lot.
Good.
I've been listening and doing meditations and it's really starting to change and it's only been a few days.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine the amazing person I'm going to be, you know, in a few months. People are going to ask for my autograph because of my amazement.
Because you're a superstar.
Okay,
so Cindy was talking with us at the meditation last week about the Forgotten Song.
Mm-hmm.
So I also had that in the same Word document, and I'm going to read that next.
Okay.
So beyond the body, beyond the sun and the stars, past everything, you see and yet somehow familiar is an arc of golden light that stretches as you look into a great and shining circle. And all the circle fills with light before your eyes. The edges of the circle disappear, and what is in it is no longer contained at all. The light expands and covers everything, extending into infinity, forever shining and with no break or limit anywhere. Within it is everything, is joined in perfect continuity. Nor is it impossible to imagine that anything could be outside, for there is nowhere that the light is not. And when she was guiding us about going to that 5 minute at the end with
right.
with just like God and not asking for anything and being with the light, I think this is what she was referring to. So that's new for me in my practice. And I appreciate getting that nugget from her last weekend.
Mm-hmm. The more I think about those two at our workshop, the more I really want to invite the listeners, our dreamers, to find one of those workshops. They are amazing. I mean, it's such a pleasure to kind of have been in their company anyway. But what they brought forth, you said it last week in the podcast, they really did come from love and they came from consciousness. And they really were the embodiment of what I would say is the ultimate course teacher.
Yeah. When they talk about that monk or whatever with the Dalai Lama and they ask him the sex question and he says, why would you need sex when you're always coming from mm-hmm. love or
right.
coming from God anyway? I mean, there really is this kind of vibration in my body that buzzes when I am connected and coming right. from there.
That's true.
Yeah. And they describe heaven being beyond that.
I
like
know.
Ecstasy.
Can you imagine?
To the umpth degree.
How amazing that is.
Yeah. The After Billy Life book, Billy Fingers Afterlife.
Yeah. The Afterlife of Billy Fingers.
It has some great descriptions.
Listeners, if you can, there's an audio version of The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. My sister's listening to it right now.
Good.
We read the book version. It's really great. I mentioned before, it's sort of like a companion piece to The Course in Miracles, like unofficially. Mm-hmm. I just love the fact that it basically brings the reader along. This gentleman who is sort of named Billy Fingers is actually Billy Cohen. He had passed away and he moved through the dimensions of heaven. It's fascinating to learn what he was experiencing. And the writer was just so transcribing
it.
Much like Helen was transcribing Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, as soon as you say something about, oh yeah, this is transcribed from Jesus, I think a lot of people's minds just shut down. Because it's not coming from the Bible. It's not like the Book of Mormon. It's not these traditional scriptures and religious texts. Mm-hmm. This is something completely different.
Yes. I mean, it's a new way of thinking. It's a mind training to undo the ego that we weren't ready for until 2,000 years after Jesus.
And here we are in 2014 talking about it now. Thanks, Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah.
So that will wrap up our podcast for number 10. Thank you very much, Stephanie. Thank you very much, Dreamers. We will be back next week with the Course of Course podcast. Remember, you can always reach us at thecourseofcourse.com or thecourseofcourse.blogspot.com. Thanks again. Have a great day.